my children's Advent calendar has been plundered of all of its chocolate, indicating that it is only 4 days until Christmas. And of course, these are the days when you hear everyone talking about what it is they want for Christmas. I remember being a child consumed with whatever it was that I currently wanted that year for Christmas. And I would talk to my parents about it, and people would ask me, what are you going to get for Christmas? What are you going to get for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? But tonight, we are going to ask a different question, one that we usually don't ask. What does Jesus want for Christmas? It's not his two front teeth. I asked the question to my three daughters the other night at dinner, what does Jesus want for Christmas? And my three-year-old said, a new kitchen. I said, no, that's what mommy wants. What is it that Jesus wants for us in this season? What I believe Jesus wants for every single one of you is for us to experience what we were really made for. What he wants is for you and I to have a joy that nothing in this world can give, a peace that no one in this world can give. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this himself. He said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace. And that peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. I don't think it takes much thought to understand that the world cannot give us lasting peace. When we look at the news of what's happening across the globe or in our country, even in our own city, we understand that no one can actually give us this peace, for our world is broken and we are broken. But Christmas is about God coming into our world to mend us together. So to experience this joy, to experience this peace that we sing about at Christmas time, we must receive the gift of Jesus himself. And it can only be experienced, this joy and this peace can only be experienced if what happened at Christmas time actually happened. See, if what we're told happened at Christmas is not real, then the whole story doesn't really mean anything. I mean, there's no real takeaway, there's no real inspiration, there's no practical lesson. I mean, what would the lesson be? Like, hey, little boys and girls, if an angel shows up, better not shout, better not cry, like you better listen. See, for many people and for many children, Christmas time has become this season where you just believe in anything. And maybe, just maybe, if you believe hard enough, it will come true and great things will happen. It's like the Clausometer in the movie Elf. If you've ever seen the film, then you'll remember that Santa has a sleigh, but Santa's sleigh can only fly if people really believe. And so in the film, he can't fly, and everyone starts singing songs about Santa, and all of a sudden the Clausometer goes up and Santa can fly. And what we're taught is that Santa's power is only sustained by the praises of people. And it becomes all about how much we can give and how much we can put in to the Christmas spirit. But listen, Christmas is not about how much we can give. It's about how much God has given. And we are not asked to believe in order to make it true. We're asked to believe because it is true. Christmas is not about a principle we must follow. It is about a person we must follow. Receive. This is what Jesus wants for Christmas, for us to receive him, to trust him, for you and I to say yes to him. Hearing the Christmas story invites a yes or no answer. In fact, every encounter with God requires a yes or no. You cannot be indifferent. In this story, both Mary and Joseph had an encounter with God, and they considered and they responded. And this is what we must do this evening and as we approach Christmas, we must consider what it means to receive the gift of Christ, both initially for the first time and continually throughout the rest of your life. So in saying yes to Jesus, what are we saying yes to? I think our story here gives us three things. First of all, in saying yes to Jesus, you and I are saying yes to forgiveness. In verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, the angel tells Mary and Joseph that when this child is to be born, his name shall be called Jesus. Why? Because he will take away the sins of the people. This is an unexpected gift. Have you ever received an unexpected gift at Christmas? Like you open it up and you're like, oh my, that's interesting. I didn't know that that could actually travel in the mail, like the Jell-O molds my dear grandmother from Texas used to send me years ago. Well, imagine this week, Christmas Day comes, you're tearing off the wrapping, and you open up a box to find a note in it saying, I forgive you. You'd be like, wait a minute, you wouldn't really be that excited. In fact, some of you might actually be offended, like you're giving this to me for Christmas. You might be offended unless you actually wronged that person. See, this changes everything. When someone offers you forgiveness, you're offended unless you've actually done something wrong, unless you actually had a debt to pay and it has been cleared. Imagine this Christmas that the city of Los Angeles sends you a letter saying, we forgive you. It would be awkward. You'd say, what on earth? Until you flip over the paper and discover that you actually had thousands of dollars due in parking tickets, which for some of you is not really fiction. And then to find out that your debt is paid in full, all of a sudden you would be grateful because there was a debt that must be paid and it has been paid. See, 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people had been beaten up by the Romans. The Roman government oppressed them and they were looking for a deliverer. They were longing for someone to deliver them. So you can only imagine the shock it would be to hear the Christmas message saying, hey, your rescuer has arrived. You're going to be forgiven. You're like, what? I'm going to be forgiven? Imagine for a moment you are a mouse and a giant elephant is threatening to step on you. And a rescuer comes and says, oh, I'll save you. I forgive you. You think, wait a minute, I'm a mouse, this elephant is stepping on me and you forgive me? You'd think, what on earth? Now, of course, God cares about a giant elephant threatening to step on you, but what if that mouse was threatening other mice? See, when it comes down to sin against God and others, though it might look different in the ways in which we do it and the choices we make, no one is innocent. Every single person is in need. See, when we think about Christmas, we understand that God doesn't look down at the world and say, good guys are over here and the bad guys are over there. No, the Christmas message says that all of us are in need of salvation from our sin. And here in Matthew chapter 1, we're told that his name will be Jesus, which literally means God saves, or it could actually mean God help. It's God saying, my son is the answer to everything that you truly need. See, the Bible says that what has separated us from God, the reason we don't have lasting joy, the reason we don't have lasting peace, the reason that there is so much brokenness in the world is because of sin. And so what brings us to God is a Savior. In saying yes to Jesus, you are saying yes to your need for forgiveness. And yes to his willingness to provide it. But it doesn't end there. When we say yes to forgiveness from him, so that we might secondly say yes to fellowship with him. In verses 22 through 23, we're told that he's given another title. And this title is a fulfillment of everything that was said in the Old Testament about God's Son coming into the world. That his title would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Friends, this is incredible. because it means that this child, Jesus, would be fully God and fully man. And this title brings on a very personal meaning for everyone who trusts him. God with us. God is with you where before he was separated from you. And this promise goes even deeper when, if you were to read Matthew, we just read chapter 1 tonight, but if you were to go all the way to the end, to Matthew chapter 28, you would read about Jesus and his crucifixion on a cross, and then you would read about Jesus' resurrection from a tomb, and before he would ascend into heaven, where he is currently at this moment, you would find that he said his words, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Friends, that means that wherever God sends you in this life, he sends you with himself. It means that whatever circumstance you will go through, he goes through it with you. It means that whatever circumstance is allowed in your life, he is there with you. That whatever God calls you to do, it is he himself that goes with you to do it. He is the presence that we need. His presence is the meal that our starving hearts need. And we can know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Because the fact that he is with us, think about what that means. It means he knows everything about you. He knows all of your thoughts. He knows all of your hopes. He knows all of your fears. He knows all of your temptations. He knows you fully. And for many of us, that freaks us out a little bit. Like, if some of your friends or people in your family knew every thought that you were thinking, maybe they would not want to talk to you again. I don't know. It depends on your thoughts. So there's this fear, like, gosh, if people really knew what was going on, if people really knew what I was tempted by, they would forsake me. Not so with God. He knows you completely, and yet he loves you fully. He knows everything, and yet he will not abandon you. He knows your joys, and he knows your pains. He knows everything you're excited about right now. He knows everything you're discouraged about right now. But you can know, like the song that we sing at Christmas, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. God is with us. Christmas is about the God beyond our reach coming within reach. And when he appeared, the soul felt its worth. At Christmas time, the Son of God did not lay aside his divinity. He laid aside his dignity. This season that we celebrate, the God who is infinite became an infant. He lowered himself for us. He arrived miraculously. Yes, that is what this story is all about. It is a miraculous birth. But yet he arrived humbly. He came down that he might lift us up. He's come to be with us. So the question for you tonight is this: will you choose to be with him? What is your response to him, even now in this life? See, all of us know that you can have a relationship without fellowship. You can be a married couple and not be talking to each other. You technically have a relationship. Technically, you're married, and yet you're not enjoying fellowship, it could be, because you're not having dialogue. You're not having intimate conversations. You can have a relationship, but without the fellowship. You could be a dad so busy with work at home or in the workplace that you actually ignore your children. We all know it is possible to have a relationship without the fellowship, and the same is true for all of us in this room. It is possible to have a real relationship with God and yet not have the fellowship, not have the intimacy. So busy, so distracted by so many other things, we forget to make him the center. We forget to bring him to the forefront of our minds and our hearts. We forget to take all of our cares and all of our hopes to him in conversation. But tonight is an opportunity for us to make him room. Let every heart make him room means that we acknowledge our need for him to be at the very center of our lives. See, The good news of Jesus is that he takes care of our sin in order to bring us to himself. We're not only forgiven, that is not the only truth that we are told at Christmas. We are forgiven so that we might have fellowship with him. So this Christmas season is a chance. It's an opportunity for you and for I to develop an intimate relationship with God. For in saying yes to him, we are saying yes to forgiveness. We are saying yes to fellowship with him. And lastly, we are saying yes to faithfulness. We're saying yes to faithfulness to him. See, what I want you to see at the end of this story is that God's grace does not put us to sleep. God's grace makes us awake. Joseph wakes up from a dream and responds to God with obedience. He responds to God in a way that was faithful. But there was great cost involved. Think about it. For Mary and for Joseph to say yes to God meant that they would be looked down upon by all the other men and women in their community. See, Mary's pregnancy before marriage was humiliating to Joseph. When he heard the news that she was pregnant, he just assumed the worst and did not know what to do. In fact, in this story, we're told that he was a just man. He didn't want to publicly shame her, so he sought to put her away. He did not yet know that this child was a miracle of the Holy Spirit. So in that moment, Joseph had a choice. He had a choice not to bear the shame of the community. All the things that people would say about him and her behind his back. He had a choice to not take that upon himself. And we are told that he planned to put her away quietly, which simply means that he wouldn't marry her. But in this story, God shows up. And in a dream, the word of God comes through an angel, and Joseph was overcome and was moved to make a new decision. God's grace shows up, and he responds with faithfulness. He became willing to take the burden upon himself, knowing the shame that would come, knowing the ridicule that would come, knowing that they might be seen as outcasts. Joseph took the burden on himself in order to protect Mary. And in order to bring Mary to himself, even though it would also bring great shame, Joseph responded to God's grace with faithfulness. And friends, that is what you and I are to do when we think about how God lowered himself for us. When we see what he's done, we respond with obedience. Both of these stories of both Mary and of Joseph demonstrate faithfulness. Both of these stories demonstrate initiative. Both of these stories demonstrate courage. But nothing like the child to be born. For their child is Jesus, the only truly innocent one, who would say yes to the rescue plan of God. And who, in deciding to step down into our world, did not just risk shame, but endured all the shame and humiliation that our sin deserves when he took it upon himself, when 33 years later he died on a cross for all of our sin so that he could protect us, so that he could bring us into his family, which will last forever, so that we can have forgiveness from him, so that we can have fellowship with him, and so that we can be faithful to him. See, Christmas is not only about some sentimental thought about baby Jesus. It's about focusing our attention on the adult Jesus who is risen, and there is a human heartbeat at the throne of God right now, which means you are safe and you are secure in God's family forever. From Christmas to Calvary, from the cradle all the way to the cross, God demonstrates not just how far he had to go, but how far he was glad to go. To rescue you. That is the glory of Christmas. And it all began by him becoming a man. He was not born into luxury. He was born into poverty. He was not born into privilege. He was born into hardship and difficulty. Look at what Christ endured. He didn't just look at the plan and say, oh, you know, that's not so bad. Jesus knew the cost. When we celebrate Christmas, we must remember not to sentimentalize the whole nativity scene with like neon talking cows and like a nice little cozy manger that's like, oh, I'd like to sleep there. Like, it was not the case. Jesus was born into a poor family who actually had to live their lives on the run because there was a king at the time named Herod who didn't like the idea of another king and wanted to get rid of all these children. And he's born in a context where his bed was a disgusting feeding trough. See, tonight, we celebrate that God came to us miraculously, but we also remember that God came to us humbly. He came to us in such a way that you and I could choose. Think about it. If God just showed off his raw power, just showed up right now and the curtain was pulled back and his raw power was shown to us, we would have no choice but to bow the knee. But at Christmas, we remember that God came in such a way that we could choose. Even if God came down as a great king, that would be humility. But he went farther than that. He came as a humble servant. He lowered himself. And so tonight, what we're not saying is that God lost his power. No. When we celebrate Christmas, we see power controlled by love. It's God saying, I will constrict myself. I will limit myself. I will come as an infant for the sake of you and for the sake of me. It's been said that the most persuasive love of all involves sacrifice. And there is no greater sacrifice than Christ's. The question for you is, will you bow the knee? Will you say yes to Jesus? Will you truly receive the gift of himself? Friends, what he wants most for us, not just in this season, but for all eternity, what he wants most for us, what he wants for Christmas, and what he wants forever, is for us to see him for who he is, and for us to love him in response to the love that he has shown for us. This is where we find what we were made for. This is where we find our greatest good lies, in glorifying God, in knowing him and declaring him to the world. What he wants for you is a life that displays who he is to everyone around you. See, realizing what God has done for us makes you unafraid and unashamed to proclaim his name. It means that we are willing to say yes to God, even knowing that it might bring embarrassment or it might bring shame upon us, knowing that we are forever accepted into God's family. So tonight, this Christmas season, are you saying yes to everything that God wants to do to your life? Are you saying yes to everything that God wants to do in your life? Are you saying yes to him? In saying yes, and in saying yes to the gift of himself, we discover a joy that the world could never give. And it is a joy that the world can never take away. So for you tonight, first of all, you are to receive him into your life. And for some of you, that may be for the first time. You've never actually done that. Tonight is an invitation for you to receive him into your life. Make it official. Just how Joseph in this story, when he heard what God had done, he responded with faithfulness and he made it official. He said, okay, God, I've heard what you've done and I'm gonna follow through with this. And he made Mary his wife and he named his child Jesus. Tonight, if you've never done so before, is your opportunity to make it official and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. to change me forever and to get rid of my sin and my guilt and my shame and accept me into your family for all eternity. If you've never done so, tonight is the night. But for the rest of us, we continue to receive him. We need to receive him into our circumstances. What is it right now that where are you struggling to say yes to God? What area of your life right now, in this moment, in this season, where are you struggling to say yes? For some of you, it's your marriage. It's difficult. It's hard. Some of you want to give up, and you know God is calling you to say yes to him, but you're struggling. Tonight is the night for you to invite him in to your circumstance and say, God, I don't have the strength, but you have the power, and your love can compel me to do what is right. It could be that your whole career, your work situation, your financial situation, you face discouragement in the season as perhaps you reflect on where you were at this time last year and everything might have been going good. And yet here and now, things are not going so good. And you're struggling to see how could God possibly even be in this situation? What you need to do is receive him into your circumstance. You need to know that he is with you in them. I mean, listen to this. May your heart hear this. If God was present in a manger, in the worst of circumstances, if God was present at the cross, the ultimate worst of circumstances, then you can be sure he is present with you in all of your circumstances. When you think about Christ coming and laying in a manger, you remember that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, you can know that God is with you. And in ways in which you do not even know it yet, he is working all things together for your good. Whatever you're struggling saying yes to tonight, name it. I want you to name it tonight. Say, God, I'm struggling with saying yes to you in this part of my life. Name it, and then bring it to God, and you will experience intimacy. And then that will increase your capacity for love, which will then increase your potency for power in this life. This is what Christ is calling you to do. So tonight, receive the gift. Rejoice in that gift, and retell the good news of this gift. On Christmas morning, over 100 years ago, a great British preacher named Charles Spurgeon preached a Christmas sermon on the most unlikely text, a story about a man who was freed from the power of Satan. Why? Well, in that story, Jesus set the man free. And after he did, he told the man to go home and tell your friends and tell your family of the great things that God has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. See, this is why Charles Spurgeon retold that story on Christmas Day 100 years ago, because we who have received the gift of Jesus, we who have said yes to Jesus, we have an opportunity even this week to go home to our friends and to go home to our family. And when you do, Christ is calling you to retell the story. He's calling for you to go home and to tell your friends, to tell your family of the great things that God has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. The truth that you retell is this, that the God who is above us has come to be with us by giving himself for us. The whole of the Christian life is saying yes to Jesus. That is what he wants for you. And in so doing, when you say yes, you're saying yes to forgiveness. When you say and receive this gift, you are saying yes to fellowship with him. And as you receive his gift, you are saying yes to faithfulness to him. So my question for you is simple, friends. Are you saying yes to him tonight? I pray that you would. Father, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would cause us to see so clearly the greatness and glory of Christmas. That you, God infinite, lowered yourself, became a child to live the life that we could never live, and to die the death we should have died, and to rise again and give us a hope that nothing in this world, not even death, can take away. Holy Spirit, shine a light into our hearts so that we might see where we need to say yes to you. I pray for those in this room who have perhaps never believed upon you to be saved. They've never said yes to Jesus. I pray right now in their hearts that they would not let another moment pass, but right now, just simply in their hearts, say a prayer to you, saying, Jesus, I believe that you came to live for me. I believe that you came to die on the cross for all of my sins. And I believe you've rose again to give me everlasting life. I pray that they would say it right now and be saved. And Father, I pray for us all that you would shine a light so that we might see all those areas in which we're struggling to say yes. And as you reveal them, may we know you are not doing it to destroy us, but to rescue us. May we say yes to you tonight. May we say, yes, God, I want you in my circumstance. I want you in this time of difficulty. I want to be near to you, and I can come through the blood of Jesus. I pray that married couples would say yes to you working in their lives. That families experiencing hardship would say yes to what you want to do. For those who need healing, that they would say yes to your power. For those of need of direction, that they would say yes to you as their counselor. That is how you want us to celebrate Christmas, by receiving your gift. May we do so in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.